coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Hey Kids Comics. This is issue 211. I am your host, Andrew Farmer. With me, as always, is your other host and producer of the JCU Podcasting Network, as well as this show, the Jedi Cole Houston. Are you there, Cole?
I am broadcasting through my mind.
I was going to say, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I don't know. The thing is, I use my mental abilities to block out those who would try to use their mental abilities to read my mind.
Oh, you
to
built
the point that I can't even read my own mind.
You've built mental defenses to the point where you don't even know what you're thinking anymore.
It's literally, it's like that Dr. Fate castle. I forgot to build a door.
Oh my God, I can't wait. I'm so excited for this particular story arc. Cole presented this not knowing what he was getting into. Cole, what are we doing for the next five issues of Hey Kids Comics?
We are delving deeper than I ever imagined into psionics. As so often happens, I'll get an idea for a title that, you know, it's, I'm not Captain Crunching it where I, you know, create the character then the serial, because that's a good way to get your gums torn up. But at the roof of your mouth.
Yeah, I remember Johnny Sawblades. That was a bad cereal
choice. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. That was... Who thought BB's was a good idea? Something to put in...
in granola? I don't... Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know. I made those granola bars with almonds and BB's. Didn't go over real
well. Yeah, well, you know, the Buckshot granola bar was not a... Not a really good idea. But this one is actually a pretty good idea that snowballed, because I hit upon the title that became the intro to this arc, which was Hooked on Psionics. And then I thought, the more I thought about where I wanted to go, the more I realized there is far more here than I imagined.
Yeah. Yeah, there is.
It was that Dr. Fate castle preventing me from seeing it all initially. Sort of chisel a door in. But basically what this boils down to is the concept of psionic power, to use the mind as the basis of everything.
Yeah, as you heard earlier, as in the intro to the show, the powers of the mind are absolute.
Yes, indeed. And I think that comic publishers and writers have taken this to heart, because the psionics became a convenient go-to, especially if you're DC and don't have the benefit of mutants.
Yeah, you needed something. You needed something out there to pin all of your comics on. So you went with psychic abilities or psionic users of psychic abilities. They are two separate words, Cole. I'm very, very serious about this. Psychic and psionic are two separate words.
They are indeed, because you really psychic powers are self-limiting.
Right.
You have a very narrow, they may be, you know, fueled by psionics, or it was the powered by psionics. That's the, you know, everything's powered by, like, you know, right now we're powered by Centrelinks. Plug. And psionics.
So psychic is the ability. So you have a psychic ability. If you wield the psychic ability, that is psionics. So it's relating or denoting to the practical use of a psychic power. Sorry,
well,
I have to stand
like
on this ceremony.
Hands. Having hands is a great thing.
Would these be people hands?
People hands,
okay.
No less.
Okay.
But the mere presence of the hand is irrelevant if it isn't utilized.
That's true.
And some will utilize it to, like, say, pick the apple. Others to punch the nose.
Some people believe that psychotropic drugs will mind-altering substances will bring about your own psychic abilities, as can be witnessed by what Cole is saying right now.
Exactly.
I'm not sure if he got into the big bag of mushrooms or not before the show, but
the really frightening thing is I do this mushroom-free. I have this sort of psychotropic, naturally produced backlog that occasionally needs to be trained off.
It's like psychic abilities are like hands. Look at my hands. My hands are really big right now. I have four hands. Good night, everybody.
And my hands have hands, just like in Doctor Strange.
My hands have become fractals of their own hands, man. I've got hands spiraling out of hands. It's the golden hand
ratio.
And
also, those of you who know me from long overdue return of the Rancor Pit, that is hands, not hands, Solo.
Damn it. All right, moving on.
Really, one final note on hands I think is very important, perhaps to a future issue, is that if they're not in use, that's really the only place that the devil can build things like chairs and, you know, fix all those little things around the house.
That's right.
Because otherwise, he's got no place to do it. You know, the problem with carpentry in hell is everything is set ablaze on a constant.
That's the problem with carpentry in hell.
Glass blowing, however.
I love doing this show. I love doing this show. Nowhere else on the face of the earth do you hear the sentence, "That's the problem with carpentry in hell." But we digress, as we so often do. Back to the powers.
Start merchandising things. I have t-shirts. That's the problem with carpentry in hell.
Anybody who's out there listening that wants to make merch for us, please make notes for us too, because we'll forget
right
by the end of the show. So psychic abilities. What do you consider, because we were having this argument prior to the show, I think that we need to be very clear with our definition of our expectation of what a psychic ability is when we get into this, because there's so much out there that you can, like you said, you can if you built a hat rack in hell that you couldn't hang your hat on because it's burnt to a cinder.
That's right, as would your hat, unless it was an asbestos hat. But they have the I think the distinction here is that while psychic, there's an invocation that I think is attached to psychic.
Okay.
And when I hear the word psychic, all I see is Dianne Warwick and a failed Enterprise.
You think Madame Cleo.
Exactly, you know.
See, when I hear the word psychic, I realize that it's not in my voice, and I'm not actually hearing it. It's being projected into my brain from Dallas, Texas.
Very likely.
And it's always just the word psychic. It's really weird.
When you least expect it as well.
Cole, I realize that you're using your psychic powers. You can say something other than psychic, though. You don't have
like
to be any
crank. It's my little tick there.
Psychic. Stop it, Cole. I'm trying to sleep. I get it. That would be the worst superpower, is to be psychic, but the only word that you can telepathically send into somebody's brain is the word psychic. Could you imagine Martian Manhunter only being able to put the word psychic into people's heads?
I can actually see the story. It's like a Superman or maybe like a Thor story called The Boy Who Cried Psychic.
So what are you – so when you think of – so go on. I'm sorry. I interrupted
you. Oh,
that's
right. Well, I think that when you say psychic, it brings to mind what would probably be more accurately precognition.
Okay.
The term has been so heavily associated with what I would call a precognitive ability over a psychic ability. And I think that you hit the nail on the head with the concept, the opening concept, that the psychic is literally the fuel from which the psionic is powered.
Right.
And
right.
How the psychic or psionic abilities, which is to say the ability of the mind to will the impossible into existence. And that isn't simply just sort of conjuring physical forms out of thin air, but more accurately, the ability to, say, become bulletproof because you are, in your mind, bulletproof.
I have a friend that argues, and he's been on the show. It's Kurt. I'm just going to say his name. Kurt's been
on
the
show. Is he bulletproof?
Bert's Ken on the show. Kurt's been on the show. We talked about role-playing games and stuff like that. But his thing is that every kind of Superman level superhero. The only way that they make sense, and it's listed as a superhero power, is if they have tactile telekinesis. So that's okay. The way that they, that you have to touch something to enact that you know, mind over matter scenario, right? So the only hero that I can think of that uses that on a regular basis is Superboy, the new Superboy. They've said that that's how he gets his powers, is through tactile telekinesis. So if he can, if he punches a guy, it's a super powerful punch because he's using his mind to hit the guy, not necessarily his fist. But he makes the argument that every single superhero uses tactile telekinesis, which I think is a little much, Kurt. But I understand what you're saying, because you're trying to rationalize a bunch of bullshit that they threw at us in the 60s and the 70s and the early 80s before we really got into the origin story and continuity in the way that we have now. Let's say pre-crisis, right?
Well, also before such a time as we cared, we began to demand, as it were, that we have a plausible explanation for things. We, what I call next generationing it.
That's good. That's good. So, for instance, I immediately cut out of this equation anything that uses any kind of equipment, let's just call it equipment, to enact a psychic ability. So falling into that purview, Green Lanterns, Green Lantern Corps, any Lantern Corps, out, boom, gone. You're out of my
dojo. I think, we were talking before the show about Green Lantern. I was trying to put my head around where you were coming from, because, I mean, or at least to extrapolate from where you were coming from would be more accurate. Because one of the things you're arguing is you're seeing Green Lantern / Green Lantern Corps et al. Appearing on lists of, here are, you know,
X number
75 top psionics users in the DC universe. Number 12 will shock you.
Right, will blow your mind.
Because it turns out to be Lightning from Thunder and Lightning.
Damn it.
It'll shock you, literally. But you were arguing that they have no business being included in such a grouping, in such a fraternity. And I agree, because essentially what you have, your tool is essentially artificial psionics, I think would be the best way to explain that, is you have an analogous technology.
Right.
Gives you a, you know, you go in and you see like the Stranger from Marvel and the Green Lantern Corps show. He's like, fake.
Right. It really bothers me. It that shit bothers me. If you look at, like, and also in that same vein, I don't consider your magic users to be psychic or psionic, to use psychic abilities to be psionic characters.
No, because, again, you have that, it's this artifice. It mimics psionics, but it isn't a naturally occurring thing. Your magic user has learned the secrets of tapping into something beyond the mind.
Right. And with the exception, I can think of maybe one or two exceptions to this. And and the fact that they get to have this ability is BS. But most of the psychics or psionics users, you know, that I can think of, psionics in the comic book universe, usually are the meek. they're my size guys. Right, they're not the
yeah, they're the scrawny little nobodies that somehow, without virtue of radioactive spider bites that didn't give them radiation poisoning,
right,
and poisoning for that matter, then gain powers and abilities beyond those of mortal men,
so that they can go toe to toe with the likes of a Juggernaut or with the likes of a Darkseid, which for some reason a lot of people say have psychic abilities. I just think that comes from being a god. Sorry, that's sorry.
Well, I guess that at that point you're delving into, where do you set the benchmark?
Right.
Is psionic power strictly human, or strictly without benefit of this power, you'd be a normal fill-in-the-blank. Human, Martian, Seagramite, if you want little snail people with superpowers. But
I like the planet Seagramite 7.
Well, it is.
The atmosphere
was
is...
The planet was Seagram 7, and I did not catch the joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Back when I read Hercules.
Hercules!
But,
oh, Hercules, always getting drunk.
I would argue that Darkseid can fall into that because, for example, Hercules is a great accidental comparator. Hercules, as a demigod, has powers that are more based in magic or the mystical,
right,
than in the real. Where Darkseid's powers are in the real. I mean, Darkseid is unique. There isn't like a whole race of craggy, crater face people. He is of the race of the new gods who apparently, without Terrigen Mist, all look so drastically different if they're evil than their good counterparts. So I think you could get away with saying that Darkseid is possessed of a power that others of his own ilk do not possess.
Yeah.
So he's kind of unique in that he would be a badass without it. But could he have time bulleting Omega beams? I don't think so. That doesn't come naturally. Otherwise, everybody would have them, and they would be time bulleting the living daylights out of everything. The hapless parademons wouldn't know where they were in time.
Valid. So there are four issues plus this one to this story arc. Why don't you break down what we're going to be talking about in those four issues so that everybody knows what we're getting into?
Indeed, yes. This was a little bit of a challenge to break down because where do you go? I mean, there was too much to talk about in one issue. And whenever an arc comes along, there's this terrifying sense that there's not enough for five.
Which has never been true.
Yeah, and of course, in the practical application... It never fails. There's room for seven or eight. But next week we'll be delving into an issue titled of sci-fi titled Mind Over Matter.
Right.
And that's where we really get into the power of the mind being absolute. And sometimes with perfect clarity, sometimes couched in insanity, you have the power of the mind being tapped to the point that it overwhelms the physical real world. It would be like something akin to being in a waking dream you control.
So let's say, per example, and I'm sure we'll delve into this way more next week, but Proteus...
No, we better, otherwise it'll be one hell of a dull show.
Like, let's say a Proteus, or possibly a Scarlet Witch, that might be an argument that we need to have, or at least a conversation. World-bending, world-creating Franklin Richards-level power, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, much
more. Actually, in our midpoint of the arc, when we really get punchy, that'll be power players, and we're going to be talking about precisely that, because one of the things I want to explore is Homo superior, not simply Homo sapien, with an extra element within their mind that allows them to tap the psionic.
So I need to – okay, so
– because that – if you look at, from the X-Men movie standpoint, if you look at the mutant power from the evolution.
Say it, Cole.
Evolution.
No, say what I know you want to say. Say, give me the Magneto line, because we haven't said it in a while.
Yeah, it isn't simply, we're the future, Charles, not them.
Yes.
Which I love the fact that in their two-man show of Waiting for Godot,
Jesus,
they actually work that line in there.
Do they? No, they don't.
Oh, yeah.
I wish they did. I really wish they did. My dinner with Eric.
What movie wouldn't, or what stage play with a minimal audience, or even a fairly large audience, Spoon River Anthology, would have been greatly improved by the line, "We're the future, Charles, not them."
Now, I cannot get My Dinner with Andre out of my head, except it's Professor Xavier and Magneto. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be workshopping this for the future. Just prepare yourself for that.
Hey Kids Comics Theater presents.
That's right. So yes, Power Players, your big dogs, your name of the game.
And this is where we're going to name drop like crazy, because there's going to be a lot. But I think I would also, we're probably going to explore the concept that being a mutant just simply allows you, because if you take the evolutionary stance, there is a limited power base from which you can draw. I would give you that a person could be born with, say, the ability to create electric, high voltage electric shocks, because there are vertebrates that already do that.
Right.
As manifested in the electric ray, and of course the electric eel, as popularized by the Super Friends, whenever you need to like power something up or shock a villain.
And don't forget the electric gibbon. They're my favorite Ziggy Stardust cover band. I caught them in Cincinnati last year. It was good.
They're actually based on a very obscure species that went into existence about the same time as the quagga. Look it up. It's real. The electric gibbon were actually the last known specimen outside of zoological gardens in the early part of the last century. Was actually shot by none other than Teddy Roosevelt during his Great War.
Okay. So what's after Power Players?
Electric gibbons.
Yes, we're going to have a whole show. We're going to break this up by telling you the mythology and the history of the electric gibbon.
That's right. Now we're going into countermeasures.
I'm really interested in this issue. There's a lot. I think that there's – you had to make this the fourth one, of course, because that's the one where we're just so strung out after three trying to shoehorn in everything we need to shoehorn in that we lose our minds. But there is a lot going on here that I don't even think you and I have thought about yet.
So, I know. The more I delve into that in the back of my brain, the more I realize what a rich episode that is going to be, because there are everything from very targeted countermeasures to the poof, here's a countermeasure.
Right, to the MacGuffin measure.
Yes, indeed. And then finally, what better place to end this than to round out the argument of whether or not Darkseid is a psionic, is imbued with the power of the psionic, than in sci-fi godlike. And I always like to end an arc that explores superpowers or other things on the highest pinnacle.
The top of the mountain. Yeah, plant your flag.
Exactly. We need to it just seems unseemly. It's an inverted pyramid if we don't.
So we're going to be talking about Power Players, and we're not – and I can tell you right now, we're not going to get to all of them. We never do. So I want to ask you right now. I'm not talking about the most powerful. I'm not talking about your favorite. Okay? I don't – we'll get into that, and I'm sure we'll get hip deep into that. But what do you – what – for your money, what – in your memory of comic books, what's the most creative use of, let's call it, pure psychic ability have you ever seen written?
That's a fascinating one, because there are so many places you can go. I think perhaps the single most unique, and this is where you're going to we're going to wind up falling squarely into, is this a this actually plays well into a future exploration of whether or not being a mutant is simply having the ability to naturally rather than artificially tap into a psionic ability. And I say artificially not from the standpoint of equipment use.
Right.
But where something happens, and in this case the Terrigen Mists.
Oh, as the catalyst.
Yes, exactly. That every Inhuman is just this side of having some bizarre power. And the Terrigen Mist just – in a way, I think, you know, you could say it unlocks that power, but also directs it.
Okay. Extrapolate on that. I'm curious to know. Because I know that old man Cole is locked in comics from, 10 years back. But right now in Marvel, because of the whole Fox thing, they are hip deep in Inhumans now. Inhumans are the new mutants. So, wait a second. Inhumans are the
New Mutants is the New Mutant. There's a whole different book.
They're the next next mutant. So there's all these Inhumans running around now. There's an Inhuman, you know, the Inhumans versus...
Well, they're the Avengers versus mutants.
Yeah, well, yeah. But they're also, in the comics, they're doing Inhumans versus mutants. They're doing Inhumans versus Avengers. They're doing Inhumans versus everything now. So
okay, well, let's take it from the standpoint of, I don't know what's going on specifically in
the
plot lines.
Yeah.
With that in mind, I think you could look upon the Inhumans as when the Kree... willed them into existence, when they were genetically engineered to become what would be known as the Inhumans, there was this massive potential that perhaps was even recognized as completely out of control.
Mm-hmm.
There is too much potential. So they kind of leave them, they sort of village them with this mythology that Here you have this Terrigen Mist. We only got a little. It's kind of like, this is all the stash I got, man. I got to make it last. So not everybody gets to bathe in the Terrigen Mist.
Right.
So the Terrigen Mist really represents that part of their genetic makeup that was withheld for safety's sake. And once that is employed selectively... it's like this giant roulette wheel. It's like that, what was the pressure luck?
Yes, it was the whammy board.
Yes, it's literally. I mean, you know, if you're lucky, you get to be Maximus or Black Bolt or, you know, Crystal.
Yes.
Who would the Marilyn Munster of...
It's a good reference. That's a really apt reference. The normal one.
Exactly. She was the one who could go to prep school.
She was the one that could get with Johnny Storm.
Meanwhile, Triton couldn't even go out to the club, you know?
This is a very specific club that Triton went to.
So, you know, in many ways, the rise of the mutants was the best thing that ever happened to the Inhumans, a bunch of ungrateful bastards. But it's literally like this massive, infinite wheel that ultimately gives you the psionic ability to literally predate Tangled.
The movie?
I'm gonna let that sink in a minute.
The movie? Okay, do go on.
Living hair.
Oh!
So ripped off Medusa.
Wow.
Oh, let's just bleach your hair and call it a fairy tale. No, no, no. That's literally why Disney had to buy Marvel. And I'm sure there are people who know the chronology and say, well, you do realize that they owned Marvel before that. Or they're saying to that statement, you do realize that they didn't own Marvel before that, so your original thought was valid. I'm covering all my bases.
You're That's running all over the place. How are your hands?
You don't want to know where they are.
Oh, no.
Come to Medusa.
Yeah, so...
I have to turn into Brody from Mallrats when it comes to Medusa. Is all her hair living? This is super
Does the carpet factory match the drape factory?
The carpet is as active as the drapes?
That's right. So what you're saying is that the Terrigen Mist was the evolutionary key that unlocked the potential that was there but was locked away for their and the world's safety sake.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm with that. I like that. That's cool.
The first batch, you know, sometimes when you're cooking, the first batch comes out and you're like, oh, not so good. You test to toss it.
I mean, it gave us Karnak.
Yeah.
I do love. Is Karnak a wielder of psionic abilities?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, define that.
Karnak's abilities come specifically from the Terrigen Mist that gave him the big bald head. You know, he got star-childed.
He got John Merritt.
So he's like right between Triton and Crystal. If he wears a novelty hat,
he wears one of those 100-gallon hats that you can buy.
Exactly.
He's fine.
Typical Canadian Mountie hat.
See, you and I have different definitions. I'm curious to see how this is all going to play out, because you and I have very different definitions of what this is.
I use my psychic ability to see it.
of what this means. Because and it is a very sticky wicket, because you have characters like obvious wielders of psychic abilities, obvious psionic, you know, characters like the leader in the Hulk.
Exactly.
Giant brain.
Or top-level guys like Professor X.
Right. Anybody, like we were saying before the show, anybody in the Summer's Gray genome is immediately imbued with the ability to take over the world with their mind as soon as they turn 12. So
exactly.
You've got that going for you. But for me, you know, it's the pure psychic guys, the pure psionic characters that I would not put the Inhumans in that group for me. I understand where you're coming from. Their powers come from the part of their mind, their genome that was tapped by that Terrigen Mist. I get that. I see that. But it's very hard for me to, and maybe this is my, you know, weird bourgeois idea of what psychic ability is, but I have a very, I guess, a very narrow road. I have a very narrow lane when it comes to this. Like, for me, it's like, okay, you got your Professor X's, you got your Jean Grey's, you got your even like your Vance Astros, you know, the psychic guys. But, you know, you've got your Aquamans. Aquaman definitely falls into that category.
Okay, that's a good choice there, because he does use a psionic ability to communicate.
A very specific. Sleep. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
When waking with the fishes.
When waking with the fishes. Tell me, and I know we're talking about a whole bunch of different stuff here, and this is just a wet your whistle type thing, but Invisible Woman. For me, it's hard, right?
Yes, absolutely, because the Fantastic Four, they had crossed my mind as, does this fall into psionics, or does it just fall into some other gray area?
Well, see, for me, it's a very physical manifestation when you talk about the Thing, or you talk about Mr. Fantastic, or you talk about the Human Torch. It is an absolute physical manifestation of a power. You catch on fire, you're a giant rock monster, or you can stretch your body. That is a cellular change. Colossus, cellular change. But the ability to bend light around you to make yourself invisible, or use your mind, as has been shown many, many times, to create force field bubbles, which is a weird power set if you think about it, is obvious for me. That is a psychic ability. That is psionics right there. But I can't consider them all in that category.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say, you know, does the Thing's power come from being a rock monster, or does the power come from the mind?
It's getting deep. We're going all in. We're peeling back the layers.
Because he's the one who changed the most, and then it begins to beg a previously unimagined question: were those cosmic rays?
No.
Or were they Terrigen rays?
Okay. Oh, that's mind blown. Headcanon.
How amazing would that be if someone made that extrapolation?
That would be very, very cool.
That somebody somewhere, in manipulating by accident or design something akin to the Terrigen Ray, but that would or mist, that would affect a human being, because that allows for the inexplicable, the previously frankly ridiculous notion of the ridiculously named UFOs. Because the UFOs effectively reproduce an irreproducible effect. You know, I always got to bring it around to Watchmen, but in the same way Dr. Manhattan was an irreproducible effect, it was the convergence of trillions of possibilities that can only exist once.
Right.
Every single aspect would have to be reproduced to the tiniest degree. You can't dumb your way into getting an extra Fantastic Four.
No. Yeah, you can't stumble into that chamber. You can't stumble into that gamma radiation chamber and make another Hulk, no matter how many times you try.
Exactly. But if somebody was dicking around, if there was a purpose behind it. Oh, here comes another four astronauts. That's weird.
That's a coinky-dink, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like private astronauts. Those are the ones that we're targeting.
And they're dicks. They're all dicks. Like,
I mean, it's hard enough for NASA to get funding without you jerks coming along and just doing it like a damn milk run.
Right.
It's like, oh, you don't get that.
They're jerk astronauts, too. The UFOs were, were not
Those UFOs were the jerkiest of jerk astronauts.
They were the worst.
Like, Sue was pretty much blameless. She just got carried along for the ride. Apparently, unlike the non-astronaut astronauts of NASA, no training required, no strict regimen, no...
No.
Just, my girlfriend, come with us.
Who's this guy? He's the muscle. Why do you need muscle in space? Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut
Why
up.
Why are you taking Hershey bars and nylons to... quote Dick Cavett back in the...
It's a good joke. But yeah, see, that's, I think that that's going to be, for me, the most interesting part of this story arc is coming to parity with the definition of what this means, because there's a lot of arguments I could make. Like, for instance, I know I've been on Grant Morrison's dick a lot recently, but the Invisibles.
Apparently like a lamprey.
I am. Just like a lamp on a desk. Just there. Just like one of those clip-on fans. Just right there. But the idea of the Invisibles, the idea, and we've talked about this before, and I swear to you, before Cole and I kick the bucket, which is the only way we're ever going to end this show, we are going to do an issue on Chaos Magic. The Invisibles is built around the idea that magic isn't the idea of Chaos Magic is that you're not petitioning a deity to grant your desire. You have the power within your mind to affect change in the universe, which is absolutely the idea for me of what psychic or psionic abilities are. And he does that very, very well in The Invisibles. Sorry, I had to get the, if you got Watchmen in there, I get to get The Invisibles in there.
Or just any Grant Morrison plug-in that you
have. I'll show you a Grant Morrison plug-in. I will show it to you.
Of that, there is no doubt.
Okay, so let me ask this question then. What's the weirdest way that you've seen this kind of power manifested in comics? We've been reading comics for a long time.
I think I've got you there because I have the benefit of not knowing his actual origins.
Okay.
But the weirdest and perhaps seemingly most pointless yet most wonderful at once is Bouncing Boy.
Of the Legion.
Of the Legion of Superheroes. Yes, indeed. I just – because it's almost like a cut-rate Mr. Fantastic. In that, you know, he just doesn't have it in him for the full range.
He can't quite push himself there.
Yeah, he's just like, you know, it's like if I went to the gym, you know, there's only so far. I think the best I could personally ever hope for is Alfred Molina as Dr. Octopus.
That's hilarious.
That's as far as my body is ever going to be.
You have a threshold that cannot be crossed.
I am going to be. That's as close to touching on the precincts of Ripped as I am ever going to get.
That's your version of boxing with God, is Alfred Molina. That's fantastic. Okay. Yeah. So that's your weirdest, it's a weird one. Like, would you consider Matter Eater Lad or Matter Eater Lad?
You know, in deference, Matter Eater Lad actually crossed my mind, except in so much as, like so many members of the Legion, especially in the early days, his powers were shared in kind with his entire race.
Ah, see? Now we're getting to a Bismuth definition. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, hold on, now we have to stop, I need to go back. Are you telling me that there's an entire race of Matter Eater people?
Yes, the planet of Bismuth. The planet of Bismuth.
Oh my God.
Is peopled with an entire population, an entire race, the entire edible surface of their world, which becomes like the candy chamber in Willy Wonka. I think they had to eventually take to the stars, but it took a while because they kept eating the rockets.
Right. How do they have a world they live on?
I know. It just little by little, it would just have, you know, they would probably have to start invent suspended animation or something to put enough of the population down for future reproduction. But, you know, eventually.
That's the worst episode of Planet Earth narrated by Galactus I've ever heard of.
Oh, yeah.
Just real up close on the people of Bismuth just slowly eating their planet away. Like,
they are to Galactus like ants at a picnic.
Right. Amazing.
It's like, oh, thank you. Now you've ruined it. You got your Bismuth slobber all over my dinner.
Bismuth slobber all over
my
dinner.
Granted, like ant slobber, it is a minuscule amount of slobber, but by volume, when you have a full infestation going on, it just puts you off your lunch.
They really did miss a prime opportunity to be gross by having them not pull a Goldblum in the Fly effect for the entire planet of Bismuth, where they have to throw up before they eat.
Oh, wow.
Just a
whole
planet of puking and eating on
that's right.
Granite.
Puke it, slurp it.
This is my favorite Daft Punk song. Puke it, slurp it. Now I'm afraid of it. Oh, damn it. Yeah, so I didn't know that. I learned that tonight. I learned that there was an entire race of matter-eater people.
To be able to invoke matter-eater, lad.
Yeah, you dropped some matter-eater science tonight. I appreciate that. See, for me, and not to go back, because I'm not going to get another chance to talk about this, I already know. not that I haven't talked about it before, but we're going back to the wonderful environs of Grant Morrison's crotch to talk about the DC 1 million comic event that happened, which, you know, sent all of our heroes that we knew forward in time a million years, or I guess, what, 9,982 years? At that point, I don't know.
Yeah, it was a very precise number. I mean, it was calculated to ensure that there was no way. You know, like Space 1999 when 1999 arrived, it was disappointing. We were promised. Even to a certain degree, Orwell was undone because we really didn't have the dystopian future we were promised, and we were actually disappointed in that to the point where Big Brother was remanded to just being a ridiculous reality show.
Right.
So Grant Morrison is calculating that there's no way in hell that the human race will have survived long enough to say, well, they got that wrong.
So they pushed it out so far that some future, you know, some future race won't find DC 1 million and use it as their holy book to base all of society on.
Yeah, because you don't want to run the risk that you will get it right.
Right, you certainly don't. But there was a period there where all the heroes got sent to the far future, and ended up having to fight their future counterparts because of shenanigans, which always happens. There's a part where Batman has to fight Super Future Batman. And Batman has a tech.
You love Super Future Batman.
I love Super Future Batman so much. But there's one particular part of it where Batman has, and I guess this has been established forever, probably through his time at Nanda Parbat or somewhere, has developed a way of speaking to which he can hypnotize or lull an enemy into kind of a dream state for a matter of maybe 2 or 3 seconds so that he can get the drop on him, so he can get his bat chop in before they have a chance to react. Well, he tries this on Super Future Batman. Super Future Batman isn't into his chicanery, into his ledger domain, his vocal ledger domain, and proceeds to drop on him the kung fu of the – now, I just realized in reading this that it comes from Durla. So Durla.
Okay.
Homeworld of the Durlan race, or Durlan race.
Is that Chameleon Boy, or?
I think so. I think so. But it's.
Steve would be very proud of me if I actually got that right.
We're going to have to do a little background research and find that out for sure. But he says, and I will read the bubble from the panel. You see, you have to. He's kicking him off the planet. He says you have to go, and this is a martial arts move developed by the telepathic octopi species inhabiting the info oceans of Durla. The attack is telepathic as well as physical, and by the time you realize this sentence seems way too long, and that the huntress is right, and he hits him because he's used his mental abilities to out mental ability Batman. So
well, it's like the old saying, you know, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with bullshit, because that's essentially what was at work there.
It is, but he used telepathic octopus kung fu on Batman. That is a sentence that I am honored to be able to say on a podcast.
I am honored to say that I was right. Durla is in fact the homeworld of Chameleon Boy.
I wish I had
the Legion of Superheroes.
I am proud of you, Cole. I could not be prouder of you for that.
Apparently Chameleon Girl as well. I did not realize there was a Chameleon Girl.
Oh, that's a shame.
It's the next inevitable phase.
It is. They have to have a Chameleon Girl in there as well. Well, we are coming up on the end of this particular issue. Is there anything you want to wrap this up with? Do you want to talk about Godlike at all?
We touched a bit enough on that we can kind of, you know, we've left the flavor there, a little whisper of it as an aside. But one thing I do want to bring to bear is if you want to see Psionics a go-go, if you want to touch upon everything that Psionics can be, read Alan Moore's Top 10.
Oh my God, yes. How did I miss that? Yeah.
Because you could simply assign psionics to the entire population of this world to explain why absolutely every man, woman, and child is imbued with superpowers of some kind.
It's so good. If you're not reading it, you are missing out. It is so good.
Yeah, an unrelated note, it made me weep. Which will actually be one of the points of discussion in an upcoming episode, that moment when.
Right. I found a few of those myself going back through comics that were just that moment when you're just like, good God, man. Like, they did it. They really, really did it. But yeah, I'm excited for the rest of this story arc. There is one that I wanted to get to that we are not going to get to as a power player, and one that I didn't even realize in my research was a user of psychic and psionic abilities, and so far afield from what I was thinking of when I went into this that I had to make note of it, and that is Cosmo, the yes, Russian astronaut dog. I did not realize that this dog was a rootin' tootin', brain shootin' psionic dog until now.
No, you didn't know that.
No, I had no idea. I thought it was just like a talking dog from space that was sort of a mascot. I did not know that this dog had the ability to go toe to toe with Adam Warlock and survive.
I got a bit schooled on Cosmo after Guardians of the Galaxy because I was patently unaware.
So what did you learn about Cosmo? Do you remember anything in your...
Only that apparently it was like a, you know, the Russian test astronaut dog. They got somehow imbued with the ability of the psychic.
Was that a Fantastic Four?
Again, I was kind of wondering if maybe they got caught in the crossfire there.
What was up
you
there?
You could layer that concept pretty heavily.
How much was in space that day, at that time, just hanging out? Was it Cosmo, the super dog?
My favorite is the idea that some things happen deliberately by accident.
Okay.
And by this, I mean that you have someone with a very deliberate notion that they are pursuing, like, say, mutating spacefaring individuals at intervals.
Okay.
And then once they're pretty satisfied they've got their technique down and everything, they won't even be tickling. Right at the point of their master stroke, that's exactly what happens. Like, they have a stroke, or they die in a car accident, or that's the story I have longed to see for decades, is the great build, because there have to be serial killers that never got a chance to kill more than one person.
Right.
Because statistically speaking, there have to be serial killers that died before or just after their first victim.
Or they were...
There have to be, you know, all manner of anything.
Right.
Has to have, by its very nature, existed only to be snuffed out.
I was listening to something, and the postulation was, how many serial killers weren't able to be serial killers because they were really bad at it, so they ended up in jail. They killed one person and got caught. Like, that's,
yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. Like it's, yeah, like we were saying, how are your hands? The infinite fractal of all of this stuff is amazing. like how many, like the comic book of you know, how many radioactive spiders, you know, bit a kid and it killed him versus bit a kid.
I don't know, because I never made it without biting. I'm biting the spider. I mean,
you went right after it. Like,
I just, yeah,
F you, spider.
I'm like, okay, it is on.
Well, like, what
did I use my psychic octopus kung fu bismuth technique?
Like, what if it happened? If it happened in Australia and it was one of those, what do they call those things?
Like a
huntsman?
Redback.
Yeah.
Or huntsman. Well, huntsman spiders, largely, they're gigantic but largely harmless. But the funnel web or the redback are...
It's racist. It's not. It's not. It's the
just
little ones.
Spider.
It's the little ones that kill you. It's not the big ones. But yeah, so we digress. This is going to be a hell of a story arc. It's an odd story arc where Cole and I come into it kind of from different opinions. So I think that this is going to be fun for you and I to try to come to terms with what are differing definitions. I like the fact that this issue, I now know that it has to be an individual, right? It can't be your entire race. It can't be Superman. It can't be everybody
yeah,
in Krypton.
Superman can't, by his very nature, be folded into this because the Daxamites and other Kryptonians, of which far too many seem to have been preserved for him to be the last son of Krypton, that, you know, you can't, if everybody gets it, is it truly a psionic power? Or is it just a manifestation of a natural – is it cause and effect, basically?
See, we're getting. I like this. This is a good first issue, kind of building block for this. So I'm good with this. Why don't we go ahead and wrap this up here? Coming into next week when we have Power Players. No, Mind Over Matter is next week, where we actually talk about the powers, how they work.
Why they work.
Yeah, what kind of weird genetic anomaly allowed Arthur Curry to be able to talk telepathically only with the Piscine species?
Apparently he has a way with crustaceans as well.
He does.
Oh, he does.
He really, really does.
I mean, who doesn't like a good sea cucumber every now and again?
Get all up on Grant Morrison like a dirty sea cucumber. I'm sure we'll also talk about Psylocke's psi knives, because I really want to talk about that. It'll be fun. We answer questions such as, are we really going to consider Anton Arcane a psionic character? That one's going to be an argument, I think. And also, does the stature make the psionic? Because so many, we've got guys like the Mad Hatter, and the Mad Hatter kind of uses technology, but we've also got like Dr. Psycho and Dr. Sylvania, and these guys who have exhibited some psionic ability, also very, very tiny. So we'll talk about them as well.
Yes, the diminutive set.
All right, so why don't we are you ready to wrap this one up? Do you think
I think we
justice?
Need to go ahead and wrap this one up,
okay,
because we want to leave that taste of psionics hanging out there. We want you to be anxious to see where we're going to take things.
That's right. That's right. So why don't you plug us up? We'll get out of here. We're coming back next week. We're going to talk about these powers. What you going to do with all that power?
Powers. Powers.
And we'll go from
there.
That
was actually just the opening refrain from the latest. I don't know if you've heard the new single from Molton Cafe.
No, I haven't. No, I haven't.
It is sublime. So with that, we're coming to you from the Sublime Jedi Cole universe at JediCole.com. You can write to us sublimely at JCUmail@yahoo.com. I might sublimate into posting some tweets now in the new year on Twitter at the Jedi Cole U. We're of course now powered by Centrelinks. If you're listening to this episode on Centrelinks, apologies yet again for being so long into getting the previous two episodes there so you could get to this one there. But you can find us on Podbean, of course, Centrelinks, Jedi Cole Universe, etc. And also look for us on Facebook. We have a page for Hey Kids Comics as well as the Jedi Cole Universe there. And if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, why not? Go ahead and look up the Jedi Cole Universe virtual toy show,
yeah,
where you can find all kinds of goodies. I'm about to, on the night we were recording this, if you want to pinpoint it for whatever reason, I'm going to be adding a lot more stuff to that mix. And
awesome.
I will also be the last Saturday of January at the Lost Toys on Empire Central in Dallas, Texas, at their latest swap meet, with all kinds of great goodies.
You, sir, have been on a roll the last couple of days.
Stockpiling. So well stocked.
You were so well stocked. You're like micro to the Punisher, but instead of rounds and rounds of ammunition, it's rounds and rounds of awesome toys and goodies for girls and boys.
And finally, I do want to point out that we are getting close to less than 2 months away from AllCon.
Aw, snap.
13 years of AllCon. Games in Theory will be rolling out a ton of stuff. Naked Bacon, who put on I'm trying to blank on their version of remote control, universal remote, at AllCon last year. I just got a warning that they have a lot of stuff to bring to bear. We've got two other groups putting on content. I've got so much content, I'm having to whittle some of it back. This is going to be an amazing year, and we'll be working with Andy to bring back screen time, or not screen time, we'll definitely be doing screen time, but onliners.
That's right. Where is it this year?
We're back at the Crown Plaza,
yeah,
in Addison. So after the Westin really just put a bad taste in everybody's mouth, we are back at the Crown Plaza for our final year there. And then starting in 2018, what the hell, I'm going to say it, we're going to be at the Intercontinental in Dallas forever.
Forever. All right, we're going to get out of here.
Stop. Do check us out next week for more exciting fun. ALL-CON.org,
yes,
you're keen on AllCon. It is 4 days with over easily 400 different things going on over the course of those 4 days.
Easily. And that's just what's slated to happen.
Yeah,
Lord only knows what happens in the hallways.
I'm at about 8% of that now, because the more content that gets added, the smaller my colossal percentage gets. But I've dropped down from an average of 10% of all content having me in it.
It's not quantity, it's quality. It's not the
Absolutely.
Size of the boat, Cole. It's the motion of the ocean.
And that ocean is going to have a lot of motion for 4 days, and I'm going to collapse into oblivion for a day.
All right, so everybody out there, buy, collect, enjoy your comics. Do you want to say goodnight, Cole? Let's say goodnight on three.
I do, but I want to say also, comics are amazing when you put your mind to
it. Oh, my God. Yeah. All right, goodbye on three. You ready? One, two, three. Goodnight, spindly bits. Good night, Spindly Bits. You're awesome.
Oh.
Say
I'm
it.
So sorry.
Say it.
Good night, Spindly Bits.
There you go. So for next week, Gorilla Grodd, y'all. It's all good, y'all. That doesn't work. I tried though. I can't do Gorilla Grood. That is it. It's not Gorilla Grood. It's Gorilla Grodd, right?
Or the Stranger in Strangeland Gorilla Grock.
Gorilla Grock, y'all. It's all... No. Nope. Not gonna do it.
Gorilla Grock what you're saying.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.